Good morning. It is good to be here with you all today. Happy New Year. And if you're counting, not that it's a competition, but I think I win because if you were here on the 18th, I was probably the first person to say Happy New Year to you for this new year. And now I'm guessing I'm probably the last person because who will say Happy New Year after the 8th, right? That's just ridiculous. So, Happy New Year. You ever wonder why we call it Happy? You ever think about that? It's like, Merry Christmas. Why is it Happy New Year? Might it be because we start over? It's like a fresh start. You erase everything, and then it's a new one. You get to do things different. You get to do the stuff that you wanted to do last year, and now this year will be the what I wanted last year to be, and it'll be better, and I get it's a new opportunity. Everything's new. I haven't ruined it yet. It's everything's like untouched, and it's beautiful. It's new. It's happy. So, what are you going to do this year? What's on your slate? What are some of the plans that you have and the things that you're? I don't really do goals, you know, because it's like you either you meet them or you don't. And if you meet your goals, you know, if you list of goals, it's like I did that. Then what do you do for the rest of the year? And if you don't meet them, you know, then you ruined it, and then you have to wait for a whole nother year to roll around. So I'm not big on New Year's goals. Or resolutions, but I like plans and things that it's like, I want to do this different than last year, and I want to keep doing this, and so you've had a week to think about it. What are some plans you have? What are some things you're going to do different than last year? How is this year going to be better than last year? Hopefully you have some stuff that's like, well, I've thought about it, and it's this. If not, take some time and think about those questions. Those are good questions to think about, at least I find them kind of interesting. Here's what I do know about all of us. We're going to do a lot this year. We're going to have a lot of stuff that we do. We're going to do stuff with people and with church and with our jobs. And we're going to be busy. And I know that because if I call you, you probably won't take my call because you're too busy. And if you call me back and I say, could you help me or can we do this? Or you'd be, I would like to, but I'm really busy. We're going to be busy, so that means we're going to be doing a lot of stuff this year. We're going to have a full year. I mean, the year's barely started, and the only downside to it is I've looked ahead, and it's like, oh, I'm kind of overwhelmed. There's so much that got to do this year. We're going to do a lot of stuff this year. So here is a question that I want us to think about today. And if you don't like the kind of introspective, you know, thinking about stuff and questioning stuff, you're not going to like today's message, but come back next week. It'll be different. It is every week. So here's a question. It's probably the most important question that we could ask ourselves at any time, not just at a new year, but this is a wonderful time to ask this question. Before we do that, we didn't pray at the beginning. I didn't pray with us at the beginning. So let's stop and pray, and then we'll ask the question and read the Bible a little bit. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and you love us. Thank you, God, that you allow us to gather together and remember Jesus. You allow us to remember what we have in common. You allow us to sing together. You allow us to read your word together, and you speak to us through your word. So God, this morning, I pray as we read the Bible that you would speak to us through those words. That you would draw our hearts to you. That you would guide us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, probably the most important question that you could ask yourself at any time, especially at New Year, is why? Why? Why are you going to do all the stuff that you're going to do this year? Why? What's going to be your purpose and your reason for getting up every day and doing the stuff that you're going to do and the way that you live? And what's going to be that thing behind it all that you're the reason for existing? What's going to be your reason for living, your purpose in life? Why? Why? Well, why should we ask that question? Why is that a good question? Because when you ask that question, it changes everything. It brings purpose and focus to your life. When I don't ask that question, when I don't say, why am I doing this? Not just this, but you know, everything. Why am I living? Why am I doing everything that I do? When I don't ask that question, I tend to kind of just go through life in the same rhythms. And you just kind of fall in the same ruts and do the same stuff over and over again. I know what I'm going to do, and I just do it kind of blindly. But when I lift my head up and ask the question, why, things change. I have purpose and I have focus and I even have more motivation. And strangely enough, even though I tend to do the same things, whether I ask that question or not, a lot of times, I get better results. My life goes better. I'm happier when I ask the question, why? Why am I doing everything that I'm doing? And what happens if we don't ask that question is we just kind of trudge through life and we end up wasting a big chunk of our lives. We end up getting to the end of a season, whether it's, you know, your birthday rolls around and you look back on that year, or the new year rolls around and you look back on the past year, or something happens, you go on vacation and you think about, you know, everything you've been up to, and it's like, what? I kind of let that time just go by. I didn't get that much done. There's not a lot to show for it at the end of it. Or when we don't ask the question why, and we don't have that focus of this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, and this is why I'm living, and this is why I exist, then maybe we don't that's double negative. That's horrible. Maybe we do a lot of stuff, and we're really productive, but it's not stuff that we look back on and say, that was important. Like really busy, but at the end of it, it's like I'm tired, but I didn't get anything important done. I feel like I've kind of just wasted that whole season. And if you say, well, isn't this whole thing about like wasting life and asking why and being motivated and purposeful, isn't that more like motivational stuff? Why are we talking about that on Sunday morning in church? Why are we talking about that when we should be talking about Bible stuff? And that's a very good question. Or maybe you're thinking, well, isn't that, you know, like the why and the motivation and living with purpose and focus and getting results in life? Isn't that for like super motivated people? You know, those type A people who are, I mean, I survive. I get by. I don't think that's for me. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. There's a really good reason why. When we gather together as a body and we're thinking about our new year, that it's important for us to think about why, to think about our purpose, to think about what we do. Jesus lived with a huge amount of focus and purpose in his life, and he calls us to follow his example. And then you look at the other people in the New Testament who followed Jesus, Paul and the apostles and the other followers, the ones that we know about, they seem to live with a good deal of purpose and focus in their life. And then God, through his word, he tells us to live with focus. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 15. Look what Paul says. Look carefully then how you walk. That's how you live, right? That's how you go through life. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most or the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Paul's saying, think about how you live. To me, that's saying, ask these questions. What's my purpose, and what should motivate me, and why am I going through life, and why am I going to do the same things tomorrow that I did yesterday? What's the purpose behind it all? Look carefully, think about, analyze how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So make good, wise decisions, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Flip over to Colossians. Very similar text, Colossians 4, verse 5. Here's what Paul says. He says, no, that's the wrong verse. Oh, it isn't. Never mind. 4 verse 5, if I could read. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. So he says, specifically as it relates to people who are outside the family of God, make the most use of your time. In Ephesians, it's more of a general sense. Look at how you live. Look at how we're supposed to be wise about how we live and use the time that we have wisely. So how do we decide why? If I say, why are you going to live? What's your purpose? And if we all came up with a different one, that might be good. It might be productive. I don't know, but how do we make that decision? How do you and I make the decision about why we're going to live and do the stuff we're going to do in this year? How do we answer that question of why? Why do I live? Why am I? What's the motivating thing behind everything that I do? And to me, it makes sense to answer that question, why am I going to do what I'm going to do, by answering another question, by knowing what the most important thing is. If I know what is most important just in general, then I'm able to say, okay, that will inform why I live and why I do what I do and why I get up every day and what's motivating me to live the way I live and what's helping me make my decisions. The why behind my life comes from what is most important. And so if we ask ourselves what is the most important thing, we could probably come up with, you know, a varied list of the top 5, top 10 most important things in life that maybe should motivate why we live. But instead of us coming up with that list, why don't we let Jesus tell us what the most important thing is? So flip over to Matthew chapter 22. Jesus was actually asked a very, very similar question. Most important thing in the universe. What's the biggest thing? Most important thing, Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? So out of everything that God has said, out of everything that God has told us to do, what is the most important thing? If God made us and designed us, if I were to open up God's owner's manual, that's what this guy is saying, if I were to open up God's owner's manual, what's the one thing that's like at the top of the list, the one most important thing? If I do nothing else, I'm supposed to do that. So look at how Jesus answers him. Most important thing, what is it? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus is saying, most important thing, and then he says two, most important thing is love God and love other people. If you do one thing, do those two things. That doesn't make sense, but that's how Jesus answered it. So that's our answer. That's the most important thing. Love God and love other people. That is the most important thing in life. That is the most important thing that God commands. And in fact, Jesus said, if you just do those two things, you actually, that covers all the other commands. Everything else that's important in life is covered. That's important because God says it's important because it's in his word. Every other command that God has given us is covered by loving God and loving other people. That covers everything else. And so Jesus says the most important thing, love God, love other people. So starting out, okay, what's the most important thing? Because I want to know what should drive me in life. It's the most important thing is to love God. Just the first half of that, loving God. How do we love God? How do we live as people who love God? How does that motivate us in life and inform what we do and become the thing that is the why I'm doing everything behind everything else that I do? How do we love God? Don't we love God by knowing him? Don't we love God by knowing him, by knowing him as our Father? By not just knowing about him, but knowing him intimately as the one who's loved us and saved us because we've come to him and we've surrendered to him and we've bent our knee before him and we've said, my life is yours and I'm going to repent and be baptized and give myself to you, and then I'm going to live close to you because you're my Father, and I'm going to read this book and I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to have a relationship with you like I have with other people that I deeply, deeply love, but I love you more than them, so it'll even be more, it'll be deeper. I'm going to live, I'm going to know you as my Father. Isn't loving God knowing him as Father, and isn't it knowing him as Lord, as boss of our life, the one who gets to tell us what to do, the one that we obey and that we submit to? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, you'll do what I say. So if the most important thing is to love God, and we love God by knowing him, then look at the second thing Jesus said, because it's not just one most important thing, it's two. How do we love other people? And that's a harder question to answer, because everybody has an answer to that. I help people, or I give flowers to my wife, or clothing to my children, or I help somebody who's in need. How do we love other people? How do we put that in a box? What does it mean to truly love other people? There's a lot of things we could say for that, but if loving God and loving people is the most important thing, and that's supposed to be behind why I live, It's supposed to be the motivating thing in my life. Then how do we truly love people? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And there's a text here that I think will answer that question. But it's going to take a little bit of work. So it's 2 Corinthians 5, and it's the whole chapter. That's what I mean, a little tiny little bit of work. But the question is, there's a lot we could look at here, but the only thing we want to know is how do we love other people? So let's start out the first 8 verses, and let's start it informing how do we love people. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, that's this body, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, that we would not be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So he says, doesn't answer the question yet, but he starts out, he's preparing it. He says, we're eternal beings. All people, the people we're supposed to love, we're eternal beings. We're going to live forever somewhere. We will live forever somewhere. This body is just a poor representation of what we could be someday. So that's where he starts. And then look at verse 9 and 10. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. That's God. For this is the key verse. The whole thing turns, how we love people turns on this verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And there's the rub. We are all going to live forever, but we all are going to be judged at the end of this life for everything we've done, good or bad. So that means every time we've disobeyed God, every, say, little lie, but there's no lie that's little if you read this, right? So every little lie, every gossip, everything we've taken that's not ours, even time that, you know, I would never steal something, but maybe I am not actually working every second that I'm charging someone who's paying me to work. So every time we take something that isn't ours, every time there's bitterness in our hearts, every time we yell at someone in rage, every time we complain, every impure act or thought, every desire of greed, wanting more than we need, every person or thing that we love more than God, not just the bad stuff, every good thing that we didn't do, that God wanted us to do, says we're going to give account, and then it says we'll receive what is due for that. That means that we'll be punished for every time we've disobeyed God. That's big. That's weighty. Every person, the people we're supposed to love, will be punished for every time they've disobeyed God, as will we. Punishment will be given out. And what the gospel tells us is that God's wrath will be poured on us for all of eternity for our actions. It will either be poured on us, that's hell, or Jesus will have absorbed that punishment, that wrath of God in our place on the cross. So in this life, those who have given themselves to Jesus, who have decided to follow him, who have repented and been baptized, on that day, when they're before God's throne, we'll have forgiveness. Because in the cross, Jesus received the punishment for their sin in their place. And so then, that takes us to the answer to our question, how do we truly love people? What Jesus said is the second part of the most important thing. Look at verse 11 and then through the end of the chapter. Therefore, so because of that, we're all going to stand before God, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance, not what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, or out of our minds, says in other versions, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. This is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness or the perfection of God. That's the answer to what it means to love people. Loving people is taking them to Jesus. Loving people who are eternal beings, who will live forever somewhere, who will either live with the full brunt of God's wrath pouring down on them for all eternity, or live as God's dearly beloved children for all eternity. Taking them to God and helping them know God and helping them love God, that is loving other people. That's why Paul says we do anything. If we're out of our minds, it's because we're trying to help you get to Jesus. We'll do whatever it takes. To help you know God. We don't think about people just as what can I get from you or what kind of person are you. We don't think about people like that. We think about people as this is an eternal person who is going to stand before God and give account for everything they've done for all of eternity and either receive God's wrath or be God's child. And I'm supposed to love that person. And so love says, yes, I give them clothing. And I'll give them food, and I'll be nice to them, and I won't cut them off in the parking lot, and I'll do all the common courtesy things that we're supposed to do that is loving. But more than anything else and over everything else, I want this person to know God. I want this person to have a relationship with God, to become God's child. I want to teach them how to love God, and I want to see God's love grow in their heart, and I want to baptize them, and I want God's Spirit to fill them. I want them to be a new creation. That's what I want for that person. That's loving people. That's the deepest measure of love. That's what it truly means to love other people. And so what is the most important thing? The most important thing is to love God and to love other people. And that answers the question of why for us. If we say the most important thing is to love God, most important thing is to love other people, then why do I live? Well, then I should live to love God. I should live to love other people. And if you say, well, okay, well, why would I live for that purpose? Why would that be the driving purpose behind my life instead of just surviving for another year? The reason is because God works. God works through us when we live our lives to love him and to love other people. Think about it. Think about in the Bible, all the stories you've read in the New Testament of people who have lived to love God and people who live to love other people, to bring other people to God, to help other people know and love God. What's the point of all those stories, of all those people's lives? God works through them. God works. They were able to know God. People in the Old Testament who knew God, who were God's friend, who walked with God. People, they lived to love God, and they knew God. God works through our desire to, when that's our focus, knowing him, he works through that. So we actually do know him and love him. And when our desire is to help, to love other people by helping them know and love God, God works through that. That's why people get studied with and get saved and become new creations and live completely transformed lives, because God works through us when we love him and when we love other people and try to help them know and love God. So what do we do? We should live this year. The why we live this year should be to love God and help other people know and love God. That should be what's behind everything we do. And how do we do that practically? Well, how do we live a life focused on loving God and helping other people love him? The answer to that question depends. It's a two-part answer, like Jesus' answer. What's the most important thing? This and this. Well, how do we live to love God and help other people love him? It depends. Have you made your decision to surrender to Jesus, to make him the Lord of your life and let God be your Father and the Holy Spirit fill you. If you haven't, then the way that you love God and love other people is by making that decision, because you can't take other people to somewhere where you aren't yet. You can't guide people to truly love God and to be God's child if you're not God's child yet. And you can't truly love God as your Father when he says, because you live in rebellion against me, you're the object of my wrath. That's a different kind of love. It's a desire maybe to know him, but it's different when you're God's dearly beloved, forgiven child. You can love the Father in a way that is completely different than when you are not his child. So if you haven't made the decision to become God's child, why would you not start the new year out by saying, I'm going to be God's child. I'm going to repent and be baptized and give myself to him. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. And you can become God's child. You can open the door to loving God as your Father and being loved by him. And for those of us who are Christians, who have made the decision to follow Jesus, okay, how do we live our lives this year to love God and love other people? I don't know how you live and what your life is like, so I can't tell you specifically, but there's some common things that run through a life that is focused on loving God. We spend time with him. We listen to him. We read this book. We read not just, the verse of the day in YouVersion, although that's wonderful. There's a reason it's a verse a day. That's good. We read quantities of this. We open it up and read and let God speak to us. We pray to God. We talk to him. We talk to him like we talk to other people on Facebook. We talk to God regularly throughout the day. We sing to him as we're driving places, and we fast regularly. We spend time with God. So what do you need to do this year to love God more, to live closer to God? And then how do we love other people? Again, I don't know who the people are that God's put in your life to love and to lead to him and to help them and know him. But there's some common elements no matter who those people are. We spend time with other people. We open our lives and our hearts to them. We pray for them regularly. God, please help this person know you and love you and save them. And we pray for people and we study with people. We're always wanting to open this up and say, can we talk about this? Can we talk about this? Is really important. Can we talk about this? And it takes different forms and different conversations, but we spend time with people and we pray for them and we talk to them about the gospel. We study with them. So, in this year, what will you do to love God more and to help other people love him more as well? Why don't we stand? Or think about that. We'll pray, and then we'll sing together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you, God, for loving us first. Thank you, God, that the only reason that we can love you and draw near to you and be close to you is because you've invited us to, and you've made a way through Jesus, through the cross, and you let us come to you. You let us call you Father. You invite us to be part of your family. That is wonderful, and we thank you. You are so good. Oh, now, God, this year I pray that you would help us to be a community of people who each lives with this overriding purpose. The reason I get up every day, the reason I live, the reason I do what I'm going to do today and this week and this year, because I want to love God more. I want to love other people more and help them know and love God. And I pray that you would work through that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.